tonight's podcast, we're going to be talking mostly with Chris, who happens to be, where are you?
I'm in the middle of the Grand Californian. Well, actually, I'm not in the middle. I'm in the fifth floor.
Oh, that's pretty nice. Live from Disneyland.
I know. You know what? I'm pretty devoted to this podcast that I would take a break from my trip and do this podcast.
And when she says she's literally, you know, in the fifth floor, she's literally like in the middle of the fifth floor. She's like laying down. Like,
yeah. People. I'm on this bed and it's super comfy. I have to tell you.
So nice. What did you get at the Grand California? Like a studio or one bedroom?
No, you know what? I just paid out of pocket. I use a pass holder discount. I didn't use points because I kind of blew my points for July. So
you did. You used
a
lot
2 years.
That.
So yeah, it's a it's like a standard room with two queen beds. It's nice. It's very nice. We have a view of the monorail, which I guess is like a
standard view.
Yeah, standard view. Yeah. So.
Well, I suppose we should tell people that who don't know, and I'm sure there's a lot of people who do know, that there's three Disney hotels at Disneyland. So you've got Paradise Pier, Disneyland Hotel, and of course the Grand Californian, which is probably the
That equates to your deluxe resort.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say that both. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say Paradise Pier is kind of your value.
Would call it value.
You would?
I would call it a moderate. I mean, it's easily as nice as any moderate at Walt Disney World, minus all the, you know, the landscaping and everything.
Right. I would say Disneyland. I think they're kind of different because I think the Disneyland Hotel is kind of a moderate plus or maybe minus.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, after the remodel, it's really, really nice inside.
Yeah, it's real nice now.
Yeah.
The rooms are really nice and the pool's really nice, but.
Let's go with Paradise Pier being a moderate minus and Disneyland Hotel being a deluxe minus and then Grand Californian is a deluxe plus. That thing's really expensive and fancy.
Yeah, Grand California is the closest to a Disney World. If you're used to going to Disney World and staying at a deluxe.
It's kind of a combination between the Wilderness Lodge and the Grand Floridian.
It really is. I was telling Chris today when Donna and I stayed there, when we first pulled up and I saw the green awning, I was like, it looks like the Wilderness Lodge. I can't believe we came all the way to California and we're going to stay in the Wilderness Lodge. But I think that's probably where most of the similarities really end.
Yeah.
I think that overall woodsy theme.
Yes, but whereas the Wilderness Lodge has kind of a quaint lobby and feel to it, at least for me, you walk up to that beautiful large doors of the Grand Californian, and you walk inside, and it's these huge ceilings and this massive lobby, and it was breathtaking.
It is impressive.
What have you been doing, Chris, besides laying in your bed on the fifth floor?
I have been, going to Disneyland and DCA every single day. I'm here with my five-year-old, so, I mean, he's a typical little boy. He's obsessed with Cars Land. I can't even tell you how many times I've ridden Radiator Springs Racers and Mater's Junkyard Jamboree. Like at one point today, I started to get punchy and I'm singing the songs to myself.
Hmm.
Yeah. It's just like, you can only be on that so many times. So
the best
did
part
you
is
remember
you
to grab all your junk?
I did grab all my junk.
That's good. That's good.
Do you know what? They've changed what he says though. Cause he, instead of saying that, like, it seemed like they said it a lot when we were here in August. He only says it like once in a while. And so I thought maybe they changed it because there were too many people like us who thought it was really funny. But as it turns out, he still says it.
He still says it. They have different songs they play at different times when they do the ride.
I could sing those to you guys if you want.
It's pretty
Not
cool.
Really.
And I heard they added like padding to it because when you swing around, you like smash the other person. Rumor was they put padding on the sides now.
There's no padding.
There isn't?
There's padding on the... What is the Luigi's Flying Tires? There's padding on the sides now.
No, they need it on Mater.
But that's why you bring your child. Your child is padding. You slide into them.
That's the best part.
Yeah, you know what? It's definitely not on Radiator Springs Racers.
No. I was thinking, I heard they'd put it on the Junkyard Jamboree, but it sounds like maybe not.
But it's so great that, I mean, I'm jealous that you got to ride it so many times, Radiator Springs Racers, that is, just because in August it was, well, if it was working properly, it was it was incredible. So I guess that says a lot about crowds and what about breakdowns and things like that?
There were no breakdowns that when we were waiting, and we went on it. I don't even know how many times. Like yesterday morning, we went on it 3 or 4 times before 10:30.
Wow.
So yeah, there's not a lot of lines here right now. I mean, you'll see lines. We probably waited 25 minutes for Toy Story Midway Mania. We probably waited that long for Radiator Springs Racers later in the day. But early when they were doing Extra Magic Hours or the morning thing that they do, they it was fine.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because if you're staying at a Disney resort, you get in an hour early.
Yeah.
See that? Yeah, that's worth it. You can avoid all the lines.
But yeah, so it's been amazing. And we've done some things we wouldn't normally do in Disney World. Like I'm definitely not a character chaser. Like I don't like going after characters and all that. But because it's just my 5-year-old and he sort of wanted an autograph book, we spent all day today doing that, like getting character. We filled up a whole book.
Wow.
But the characters are so much more accessible here. Like when you walk into Disneyland first thing in the morning, they have all the characters out on the hub, not on the hub, but on the town square. And there's 5 or 6 opportunities to meet different characters out there. And I asked one of the hosts, I said, why are they walking around by themselves? Because, you know, if you've been to Disney World, you know that they always have a handler with them. And she said, well, we have 4 hosts in this park to cover all the characters. So she said, there's no way that one, you know, that you can be with all the characters that are out. So like at one point, Tigger, Pooh, and Eeyore walked out and they walked all the way across the square and they just went ahead and, you know, they were high-fiving kids and interacting and taking pictures the whole time they walked across. You would never see that at Disney World.
Yeah.
So
that's nice.
Yeah. And there's a ton of opportunities to meet characters in California Adventure too. So.
What about dining choices? I know, of course, the Grand Californian has a great, they have some really good places to eat on property at the Grand Californian. But what have you done eating wise?
We did Storyteller's Cafe, which is
at the Grand Californian, right?
At the Grand Californian, and they have 3 meals a day they serve there. We did breakfast there yesterday morning. And they had, you know, 5 or 6 characters. Most of them were kind of obscure. Like, you know, they had Rafiki, which, of course, everyone knows. But then they had Coda from the, oh, gosh, I'm not
Brother
sure what
Bear.
The name.
Brother Bear.
Yeah, from Brother Bear. And they had Chip and Dale, which were adorable. And this morning we did Goofy's Kitchen. Goofy's Kitchen was kind of awesome because, like, they have regular breakfast food out there, but then they have their entire lunch buffet. So if your kids are picky, you know, and they don't like eggs or something, they could eat a hot dog or whatever.
Well, what time was this, though?
And that was at 9 o'clock. It was actually 8:40.
Wow.
Ugh.
Wow.
So you could get kind of a little bit of either or. And Goofy's Kitchen is over at Disneyland Hotel.
Yes.
That's in the basement or, like, downstairs, right?
Yeah, it's kind of in the convention section of the Disneyland Hotel.
Yeah, and, kind of like in the – it's in another – it's not in one of the main – it's not in the main building where you check in and all, I guess. But, you know, it's right there. And it's cute. And they had a ton of characters. They had probably 5 or 6 characters. Plus, they had Mulan, who my son did not want to talk to. And, of course, that just made her stand there for like 10 minutes telling her life story. I was like, bless your heart, go away. So, anyway.
Well, you know, she saved China. Well,
she did.
She deserves a little.
Well, I think she just thought she could kind of bring him out respect. Of his shell. Yeah, you know, I thought it was really good. I mean, the 2 character meals we've done here I thought were fantastic. And I love the fact that, you know, basically I just showed up. I didn't have a reservation or anything.
Oh, wow, that's nice.
But this is the two, they're telling me this is the 2 slowest, like this week and next are the 2 slowest weeks of the year. So, And of course it shows because like everything is under refurb. So World of Color is down, Splash is down, Big Thunder Mountain, It's a Small World, Teacups.
Wow.
So there are a lot of
things. Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Why don't they spread it out more? They could.
I don't know. I mean, Teacups has been down for at least 2 weeks. So, you know, you have to imagine, what are they doing? So, but still, I mean, you know, there's really plenty, you know, for us to do because it's not like we would have gone on Splash.
Yeah, it's too cold.
Oh, that little water ride in DCA is down too. The one, the Rapids.
The Grizzly River Run.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's
Fantasmic. It's Fantasmic down as well.
I don't know because I never had any plans to go over there.
I heard it once. So can't see Murphy, but and then again, Disneyland caters to mostly local, so it's probably not that big an issue to many of them if all of these things are put down at one time, whereas it would be if they did that at Walt Disney World.
Oh my God, people would have a cab.
Well, it's wintertime. No one wants to ride the water rides right now anyways.
You get soaked on Splash.
Yeah, and then you'd be freezing all day.
You do get a lot wetter on that one.
And it's chilly.
Oh, you get wet on Pirates here. I mean, you know, if you're in that front row.
How'd you manage that?
What's that?
How did you manage to get wet on Pirates?
Oh, every time I'm in the front row at Pirates here, I get wet. Not soaked, but definitely wet.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Or anything stand out this trip?
Any
tips for single parents going to Disneyland?
I would say, gosh, I don't know. I mean, you know, I think it's totally manageable here because the parks are so close together. We went back and forth. Yesterday in particular, we started at DCA, ended up at Disneyland, and then we went back to DCA. And,
DCA is Disney California Adventure for those of you that aren't catching that.
And it was fantastic. You know, you just, it's a 10-minute walk. And so it's, if I were like a parent going solo, I would pick this over Disney World any day of the week. The only problem is the price and getting here is such a pain if you're on the East Coast and also just getting from LAX, you know, it could be somewhat dramatic.
Yeah.
Well, and you do have options there. You can fly into various airports such as John Wayne, which would be a lot closer.
Yes.
So you did the shuttle where they try to scam you onto the wrong shuttle?
Yes. Okay. So what I'd heard before I came here was, of course, there's a Disneyland Express, which is sort of the standard shuttle. And they were required, they have a big bus, right? And they're required to take all their advertising off because LAX has all these advertising rules. So it's just a plain white bus with a sign that says Disneyland Express on it. But if you're not careful, there are also vans that drive around that say Disneyland Express. And they don't have, you know, the Disney writing like the Disneyland Express does. But if you don't know any better or you're getting kind of nervous and you're just standing there, you could easily hop into that van. And what ends up happening is once they get you to Disneyland, they don't honor the voucher that you have for the real Disneyland Express. So if you're here and... The thing is, you go and you get your luggage. Of course, it's not like, you know, Magical Express at Disney World where they do it for you. And then you go out and you have to go through a couple of lanes of traffic and you're waiting on a median. And, you know, I'm a nervous mother. I'm waiting there with a 5-year-old who's been on a plane all day long. He's bouncing around and I'm getting kind of nervous, like he's going to fall and get hit by a bus or something. And all of a sudden this van comes up and it says Disneyland Express. And I'm like, oh, thank God, that's our ride. And then I remembered what I had been told by a friend of mine. And I thought, well, obviously this is a scam. So I'm kind of staring at the guy and he's kind of staring at me and he leaves. And about 15 minutes later, during which time I'm actually Googling car rental prices, finally the Disneyland Express shows up. And there, you know,
so was the first one a scam?
It was totally the scam. Okay. Yeah, it wasn't the real
thing.
Good
for you. You beat him.
Well, now here's the thing, Chris. I can tell you with the Disneyland Express, when we took it from LAX, the bus, the only signage on the bus was a little handwritten sign in pen on the window.
Yep.
Well, and they do have signs now. They do have signs, but these
that's good.
These vans that are totally scammers, it's written on the van. It says Disneyland Express. But if you check it, if you check the phone number on there, that's not the gray line people who have the Disneyland Express and will honor your voucher and everything. So and apparently they're trying to crack down on it. But if you're going out here, you know, I would definitely use Disneyland Express. It's Gray Line is the company that operates it. And they're really wonderful. The buses were clean, and I think it took all of 45 minutes. And yes, I did spend that 45 minutes thinking, why didn't I do this in August instead of spending 4 hours in a car on the freeway? So,
yeah.
Well, we gave you directions. I don't understand how you got
lost. I think
lost.
Those directions. Well, you know what? I just remember going somewhere that had all those like stereotypical LA freeways and everything, you know, like on, like it looks like a big ball of yarn. There's, I don't know. But anyway, I didn't see that this time. And so I'm pretty sure I went too far. I don't know. I was lost. Let's just leave it at that.
Well, I have to tell you, when we went out there in August, we didn't do Disneyland Express. We did Super Shuttle without any problems. And we also didn't fly LAX. We did John Wayne because it was just affordable. But Disneyland Express will always be funny for us because Donna and I flew in and it was late and the bus must have taken like 45 minutes to arrive. So you're sitting, like you said, you're standing in that median and all these buses are pulling in for different places and you're wondering, is that our bus? Is that our bus? And we didn't know that they weren't allowed to have advertising. So we're expecting a bus that looked like it was on their website, big green lettering, you know, the big wrap around sign. And finally this bus pulls up, tiny handwritten sign in the window, and we're like, you think that's it? Maybe that's not it. And the bus driver gets off and yells at the top of her lungs, Anaheim, Disneyland! Just like that, like she was yelling at wayward children to come inside the house. And you know, she hustled everybody onto the bus, and then she proceeded to do that at every single other bus stop at the airport. So it took probably 30 or 40 minutes just to get out of the airport. So that was just like a total turnoff. But I mean, they were nice enough and they did the job. And I think it's what, like $20 or less a person round trip? I mean,
well,
it's not expensive.
Yeah, I think we paid $27 for an adult for me round trip. And then my son was 20, I think.
Yeah.
So totally worth it.
It's just not as nice as Disney World. You get used to the Disney World. You come down. There's a bunch of people there. They get you in a line. They put you on the bus and you go. Here it's like you get your luggage and you're like, now what do I do? And then you're standing out on the curb. And like you said, those white vans will come around. And they came around the first time I was there. And they're like, yeah, Disneyland, come on. And then I showed him my voucher because I had prepaid. And then he's like, oh, no, I can't take you. Because they're looking for people that are going to Disneyland that think that are going to pay. You know, they didn't prepay on the internet, and then they trick them into taking their bus instead.
And I bet they do really well because there's probably a certain amount of people that are used to Disney World and think maybe this is included, maybe this is something official, and then they get to their destination and oh geez, now I got to pay this guy, whatever it is they charge. So
or you're like me and you start getting nervous. Yeah. You know, I was
forever.
Like, oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, because it takes you're standing there and it only comes every half hour. And then if you're super early in the morning or late in the afternoon, it only comes once every hour.
I just have to figure out how to take it home and I'll be good to go.
Yeah, going back's not bad because they pick up at a regular interval at the Disney hotels.
So I think overall, you know, that was great. I will never rent a car coming here again, I don't think. And although it's so tempting to have one. And you know, I'd like to say, following up with, you know, a reference to my traumatic trip in August that took forever. And then, of course, in August, we ate at Carthay Circle. And I didn't really get to enjoy the meal because, you know, I was there late and Steve was mocking me and everything. So
we were all mocking you.
Yes, you all were mocking me. It was it was the worst day ever.
And we're eating at Carthay Circle and you stopped off at all places in an out burger.
I know. And it was awesome, right? It was good. I enjoyed it. If I hadn't eaten that In-N-Out burger by the time I got to Carthay Circle, things would have not been good. I would have been so upset, right? Because I ended up taking forever. I needed to eat something I hadn't eaten all day. So it ended up being good. But anyway,
Carthay Circle, just tell people what it is, where it is.
Well, Carthay Circle is a restaurant that opened up about, I don't know, about 9 months ago when Cars Land opened. And the newly, you know, they refurbished or redid Buena Vista Street. It's gorgeous. And this restaurant, I went there yesterday, which is why I brought it up. It is a stunningly beautiful restaurant. It is really beautiful. And the menu is kind of adventurous. Unfortunately, again, I had bad luck at Carthay Circle in the form of a five-year-old who wanted to go see Donald Duck and really didn't want to eat. So he just sat there and glared at me the entire time. So I didn't really think about what I was ordering or anything. Yeah. I will say the food was very good. And the one thing we noticed when we went there in August was that the wait staff wasn't very good. I'm unhappy to tell you they still suck. So, they were terrible. They were friendly and everything, but they're just not very well trained for those prices. And granted, it's just lunch and you're not having like a big formal experience or anything. But when you have 7 or 8 people standing like 5 feet from your table and just talking about their day. It's like, these are, you know, the staff there. It's really unprofessional. And I kept hearing the manager, and the manager was really very young. She was probably maybe late 20s or something. And she kept just saying, I'm the manager. I wanted to say, well, you need to manage because all of your wait staff are standing there and I haven't had my Coke refilled.
Well, I seem to recall that in August, our waiter or one of our waiters, while very nice, was I don't know, he applying like, for a role or something.
Yeah, he was like auditioning at our table. He was a wannabe actor or something.
Yeah, it was very strange.
I want a do-over. I want a do-over. I want a good meal there because the room should match everything else. It should have good service. It should have, you know, pretty good food and everything. And it's so beautiful in there. I mean, I think it's prettier.
Yeah, it's kind of like you're at Palo or something on the Disney cruise ship.
I think it's prettier than that. Yeah.
But you should have that service like you have at Palo or at a Victoria and Albert's or close. Yeah.
Well, and it's funny because a friend of mine, Franklin, who has been on the show, y'all might recall he did the Gay Days show. He's out in Disneyland a lot and he kept saying, Chris, it's not good. And I didn't want to believe him, but I think he's kind of right. So they need to get it together. But I will go back again just because it's so beautiful. So
just because you're a glutton for punishment.
Well, you know, the food wasn't terrible, but the prices weren't good. So.
Right. Well, and seeing that.
Well, even the Brown Derby.
Away.
Even the Brown Derby over at Disney at Disney World's a lot better.
Yeah,
service is better. The food's better.
Do you know what I was thinking? Because I spend time thinking about this, and I love Disneyland. In fact, I'm gonna have, and Bob and I had this conversation earlier. I think I like it better than World.
I nearly crashed my car.
I know.
When she said that.
Just from a convenience standpoint, it's just really convenient, and it's an easy place to visit. Everything is right here. However, I don't care what anyone says. I think the cast members in Orlando are better trained. They're more professional and they seem to be more career. Like they're on a career path. Like this is my career. Whereas people you meet here, they seem to, it's their job. And while they love Disney and you will meet that occasional cast member who loves Disney, it's not a very pixie dust oriented kind of place.
You would think that it'd be the other way around, having Disneyland be the original park and
I think,
you know,
they're
the history.
Proud of that.
Yeah. Oh, see, and Chris, I'm going to have to disagree with you. I mean, yes, we probably there are good and bad examples at both parks, but no, I don't know. Overall, I think Disneyland's got better cast members. Aside from reservations, those are some of the most abrupt people.
You need to make another trip with me and we need to compare because you need another research trip, Bob, because
I do, and I'm happy to solicit donations to
do you know what you hear here and I tend to be a person I Maybe I should have become a spy or something, because I love to listen into other people's conversations. And what you hear here a lot are cast members complaining, just constant complaining, like between each other, which I don't think you hear a lot of at Walt Disney World. And like, and I did think of our tipping show, but yesterday I got into the elevator with my son, and there was a Bell Services guy, and he must have had 25 bags in there. And I mean, it was, the whole cart was full from top to bottom with the, and a lot of them, there were small bags, you know, like little pink bags that you could tell were owned by kids or whatever. And I said to him, I said, wow, I hope you got a big tip. And he goes, they stiffed me. And I'm like, wow. You would not hear that at Disney World. You would just get a smile.
Or, you know, that's not important. Or yeah, like yes. You said, a smile. Yeah.
And he goes, they stiffed me. And I said, oh, I'm really sorry. And he goes, no, never mind. Forget I said that. And I said, it's okay. I get it. And you know, I could tell he felt bad for saying that, but God, I would feel bad too if I had loaded all that luggage and they didn't give him a tip. But having said that, you know, that's just not something you would hear at Disney World.
Yeah. But what about like World versus Land in the way of, I mean, I love Disneyland, but I like, if I lived in one place and could attend one of them, I like World because there's just, you know, there's Epcot and there's Animal Kingdom and there's the water parks and there's just so much more and so many more activities going on to do throughout the year.
Well, I mean, Disney World will always be my park. Like, I think for all of us, that's the truth. Nope. But Disneyland has its own charms.
Let Chris talk.
I'm sorry, did you hear that?
You heard that? Nope.
Nope. Do what?
Bob's in the background chiming, nope.
Nope.
No, it does. I mean, Disney World has a lot going for it. It will always be my home park, as they say. But having said that, you know what? I explained this to someone. I said, you know, Disney World is like going to the mall. You've got everything you need there. Disneyland is like going to a boutique. You know, it's more exclusive, it's more expensive, and it's smaller.
That's an analogy.
Yeah.
Thanks. I went to law school to learn that.
That was actually brilliant.
Thank you. You just want a room with me in June, don't you?
I do.
Okay.
Well, we're having a little bit of audio difficulty. I'm going to go ahead and wrap up the show right here. I'd like to thank PixieVacations.com for sponsoring this podcast. You can download our shows at mousechat.net and also from iTunes. Please send your comments and questions to us at comments@mousechat.net. Please join us again here next time on Mousechat.